Welcome to New Generation Church with Eddie Garcia.
That shout out, thank you for that honor. Thank you for the privilege of you guys. Some of you guys don't, you know what, you can be seated. You can have your seat. Get comfortable. Some of you guys don't know, but it's going to be about 8 years ago, I was bound. I was addicted to drugs. I was lost in the world. Nobody would give 2 cents for me. You know, nobody wanted to be around me because I was lost. Nobody wants to be around a drug addict. Nobody wants to be around a liar, a cheater, a deceiver. That's who I was. And Angel took me in to his house. I get choked up a little bit because there's not too many people that'll take a drug addict in. You know, I was already coming to church. I was struggling. I was at church high, but I was here. And I needed somewhere to stay. I didn't have anywhere to stay. I had all these bags. All my stuff was packed. And I remember calling Brother Angel. I told him, hey, bro, you know what? I need somewhere to stay. I'd already kind of talked to him a little bit, let him know, look, going through some stuff, some things aren't working out. If the bomb explodes, then I'm going to need somebody to lean on, somebody to fall back on. And I thank God, because that was about 8 years ago, and I made that phone call. He showed up in a little gray Focus, and we filled it up. for being an ex drug addict, I sure had a lot of clothes, and we filled that little Focus up, and I went to go live with Brother Angel for almost like a year and a half, almost 2 years, until Griselda came along and in the picture and took Angel away from me, and they got married, and now look, they're celebrating their anniversary. Amen. So that's a good thing. Amen. God does things right. God does things perfect in his timing. And, you know, they're walking in victory. And I'm also walking in victory, because we serve a victorious God. Amen. So I thank you, Angel, for those words of kindness. And yes, we were malnourished, but we ain't malnourished no more. Amen. Now we're blessed. And we're growing in every area, if you know what I'm saying. Amen. God is good. God is great. And that's what the Lord does, church. That's what the Lord does. He takes you out of darkness, and he places you in the light. Amen. And I say that because that's the title of my message this morning. Treasures of Darkness. Treasures of Darkness. That's the title of my message. If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. But before we get into the reading of the word, I want to just honor some people real quick that are here visiting. I want to honor Marion's brother, Sergio Reyes, is here from Chicago. Amen. And his sister, Joanne, and her husband. They're here from LA, the LA area, amen. And then I don't want to leave out my son, Eddie Garcia II, here in the front row. He's visiting also. And God is good. God is faithful, church. I mean, you know, before, like I said, I mean, I felt like I didn't have anybody in my corner. But now, little by little, God's putting people back in my corner, amen. God is putting people back in my life. And you know why? Because that's what the light does. The light attracts. Amen. The light separates what's real and what's fake. Hallelujah. Can I get a glory to God? Amen. So we're going to be talking about treasures out of darkness. So let's give him a warm welcome. Amen. Let's give him a clap offering. Amen. Thank you for visiting us. We also want to welcome those that are on Facebook and YouTube that are tuned in, we want to do a shout out. I didn't forget Pastor Eddie. He's right now, he's in the beach. Amen. He's got his flip-flops and some shorts and a tank top. And he's watching via Facebook and YouTube with the First Lady, Monica Merino and Eddie Merino. Let's give it up for them. Amen. They are the senior pastors of NGC. And right next to them is the pastors from our Hopeville campus, Pastor Oscar and Pastor Mayela Andalon. Let's give it up for them too. They're joining them together. They're out vacationing and they're tuned in, watching from, I'm not going to tell you guys because then you guys are going to get jealous, but let me just tell you that the water is really clear, the beaches are very blue, and it's very nice. Amen. So, continue to pray for them as the Lord gives them the rest that they need. Amen. Gives them the rest. They're recuperating and they're renewing their strength to come back and continue in the work. Amen. Because sometimes we need to take a little break to refocus. Amen. So are we there? Book of Acts. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. I want you to just keep that in the back of your, in the back burner. Treasures of darkness. Treasures of darkness. Amen. The Bible reads, you can follow me with it, with your Bible or your phone, whatever. You know what? Share the message. If you're on Facebook, you're going to be on there anyways later on during my sermon. When it starts getting real, then you're gonna say, are you gonna tune me out, or you're gonna get on Facebook? Do me the favor and share it. Amen. Share the message. Somebody needs to hear this word. Amen. So the Bible says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, in other words, Christians, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Verse 4, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5, and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Verse 6, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no one. Verse 8. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Amen. If you'll kindly follow me over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 2 and 3. If you can't find it, don't worry. Don't feel like I'm going to leave you behind, but I'm going to continue to read it for the sake of time. It's on the screens there. It says Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. It says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Treasures of darkness. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, my God, because you speak in season and out of season, Lord God. We thank you because you created the heavens and the earth. You separated the darkness from the light, my God. Lord, I thank you, my God, because I know that you're present in your house this morning. And you have begun to speak into our lives. You have begun, Father God, to illuminate the dark areas of our spiritual life. Lord, I just ask for the anointing this morning. I ask for your spirit, my God. I ask, Lord God, that as I minister your word, Father God, that you would continue to speak into the hearts of the people that are present. And not just here, Lord God, wherever they hear this message, through Facebook, through YouTube, Lord God, through Instagram, wherever, whatever platform pleases you, Lord God, that you would touch hearts. Lord God, that you would rescue treasures out of darkness, Father God. May your light continue to illuminate, Father God, in this city of El Centro, through this church that you've raised up in the midst of darkness, Father God. May we, Lord God, take heed to your word that you've called us for a purpose, that you've called us for such a time as this. Lord, minister to our hearts. May we not leave the way we came. Lord God, we didn't come because we want to look good in front of people, Lord God, or smell good, Father God. We came because we want to hear from heaven. We need you now more than ever before. Use me as an instrument, as a vessel of your glory, and I will always give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it was you, my God, that rescued me from that dark place and brought me to your marvelous light. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't talk to me no more. Because the Lord is talking to me now. Tell him, don't be afraid. No me hables ya. Que ya Dios me empezó a hablar. Treasures of darkness. You know, right now, as I said that, I remember a thought came to my mind real quick. And I remember when my son used to go to God's Gang. And God's Gang was a youth group that he used to attend. And Eddie would go and he would come home. And he would say, Daddy, this is what I learned. He goes, we should have a Bible study. And we should read God's word. You know, but at that time, I was still in darkness. But he would come and he would remind me of the light. You know, and I thank God because, you know, even though we weren't doing those Bible studies, he was planting that seed. He was reminding me of who I was in God. He was reminding me that God had called me for greater things. And I think of that, and I'm telling you that God will do the impossible, that God can change a drug addict, that God can change a sinner, that God can transform a life. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up. There's power in the blood. There's power in Jesus Christ. He continues to change the lost. He continues to raise up treasures out of darkness. And here I am, Eddie, your dad. 10 years later. Si se puede, it can be done. It can be done, si se puede. You can change. You just got to want it bad enough. You gotta do whatever it takes. No matter who leaves you or who stays with you, it don't matter. You got to persevere. You got to continue to walk in faith. You got to continue to stay in the light. What is darkness? What is darkness, church? Darkness is the absence of light. I'm going to say that again. Darkness is the absence of light. That means that darkness only exists because the light is not around. Hello, somebody. So if you're in the light, wherever you and I go, there has to be light. The atmosphere has to change. Why? Because you and I are recipients of the light. You and I have Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Whoever comes to me, right, shall live. How many alive people is there in the house? Don't get serious on me. You can still, yes, we're a Pentecostal church. We can still say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, gloria a Dios, Cristo vive, amen. Don't get all serious and quiet on me. Praise the God Almighty, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And no, I'm not scolding you. I'm not chewing you out. I'm just preaching the truth that we need more light. God has called you. You're the treasure. I'm the treasure. God has brought us out of that darkness so that others want what you have. But if we mix, if we intermingle, if we talk like them, if we walk like them, if we don't stand out, then they're not attracted. They want something genuine in 2025. They want real Christians. They want real believers. They want real people that stand for the truth, that are walking in the light, no matter who's watching, no matter who is liking them, no matter who is with them. That's what gives us value, is the light that we carry, Jesus. So the absence of light is darkness. Sometimes when God is preparing you for the light, he will place you in a dark place. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes when God is preparing you for light, he will place you in the dark, in a secret place, in an alone time. And when you feel like, you know what? I feel like I'm by myself. I feel like nobody comes around. I feel like nobody calls, nobody texts. But God's preparing you because he's going to bring you to the light. It's like, for example, it's like an old camera film. You guys remember the old cameras? Right? Where would you develop the film? In a dark room. Right? In order to develop the pictures of an old camera, you would have to go into a dark room and you would develop them in the dark, in darkness, before you would bring them to the light. And if you exposed the film to the light, it would ruin the shot. It would ruin the picture. So I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you find yourself in an area where you feel like you're by yourself, where you're in darkness, where you feel like you're lonely. Let me tell you that God is working behind the scenes. I'm here to remind you that God called you. You're his treasure, and he's going to bring you out of darkness. He's developing you in that dark place. Some of you guys don't realize, but you're being developed in the dark. God is going to bring you to the light. He's going to expose you to the world. He's going to show them that, you know what, you can make it too. That God has changed your life, but he's doing it behind the scenes. He's doing it behind closed doors. That time that you spend in prayer, that time that you spend in the word is not in vain. Do not despise the moments of small beginnings. Don't belittle the little things. Don't belittle. Don't be so sensitive. They don't acknowledge me. They don't ever give me a shout out. You know, it's always the same people that they use. God's working behind the scenes. God's developing you in those dark places. God is getting ready to expose you, to bring you out of darkness into the light. You know, I'm reminded when I first started back in ministry that I would just go to meetings with Pastor Eddie, and I wouldn't say anything. I was just in the background, but I was in the room. You know, one time I remember clearly God ministering to me. We went to La Puente to a pastor's and mentors and presbyteries meeting, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, man, I'm not even supposed to be here. If these people knew where I was at back then, it was probably like a year or 2 years. If they knew where I was at a year or 2 years ago, they'd be reaching for their wallets, hiding their car keys. And but you know what? I was in the room. I was they didn't know who I was, but God was preparing me. God was working. God was exposing me. And little by little, in the dark, in my alone time, he was working. He was preparing me for today. You know, now I'm a pastor. Hallelujah. I have a hard time believing that myself. You know, because that's what God does. You know, now people know who I am. And I don't say that. I don't say that to boast. You know why? Because they know who I am, because they know who Jesus is in my life. Because I've learned to always glorify God. I've learned to always give all glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ, because he is the one who lifted my life once again. When nobody wanted me, Jesus took me in. He changed me. He took me out of darkness and he put me in the light. You prayed in the light, but God is developing you in the dark. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you see it even if it's dark? Can you see it this morning? Do you see yourself, you know, being in rooms, in areas where you don't belong, but you know what? You tell yourself, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. You know, I was being exposed to what I was going to become. Hello, somebody. I was placed in a room around a bunch of pastors, because you are who you hang around with. I'm going to say that again. You are who you hang around with. Hello, somebody. So you need to get around the right people. It just not anybody can be around you. And not just anybody can sit at your table. You know, you got to be careful who is speaking into your life. Who are you listening to? Who has your heart? Who has your ear? Do you guys understand that, church? The importance. The season that you're in is preparing you for what God is going to do in your life. He's getting ready to expose you in the light. Our prayers should be, God, please don't expose me too soon so that I don't ruin the shot. I'm going to say that again because some of you guys didn't get it. Our prayers should be, God, please don't expose me too soon so that I don't ruin the shot. You know, God's preparing you. And just get ready, because once you're exposed, that's it. There's no more hiding. They're going to know that you're a Christian. They're going to know that you're a believer. They're going to know that you're radical for Christ. And they're going to place an expectation on your life, whether you want to fulfill it or not. Because that's what God has called us. But don't worry, because he's preparing you. And when that time comes to be exposed, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You might not feel ready right now. And there's some of you guys that are already ready. But there's two or three that are saying, you know what, I'm not ready. Don't worry, God's preparing you. God works in the dark. Tell your neighbor, hey, tell him. God works in the dark. Dios trabaja en la oscuridad. God works in the dark. God moves in darkness. All the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So that means that God put things into order. there was darkness because there was an absence of light. I'm going to say that again. There was darkness, but because there was an absence of light. And God said, hey, let there be light. And darkness had to separate itself from the light. Hello, somebody. That's too deep for some of you guys. But darkness always runs from the light. Darkness always runs from the light. That's why there's people that don't want to be around you. Because you represent the light. I'm going to say that again. You represent the light. There's conviction. They feel guilty because you carry the anointing. You carry God's presence. And when you come around, the demons have to leave. The devil has to leave. Why? Because you got Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world in your life. Darkness always runs from the light. People have to run from us. We don't run. We don't run. They run. Stand your ground. Pray for your son. Pray for your daughters. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your family. Do your work. I'm going to say it again. Do your work. Work your land. Nothing's easy in life. If you want it bad enough, you'll do it. If you really wanted it, you would do it. How bad do you want it? You see, that's just it, church. We want things easy. But I've been taught since I was a kid, que lo bueno cuesta. What's good costs. It has a price. Nothing that's good in life is free but salvation. And even then, that wasn't free. Jesus Christ pays the ultimate price. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. I'm just getting warmed up, all right? No se crean. Gloria a Dios. Darkness always runs from the light, church. I want to tell you. I want to tell you, church, that every witch, yes, every witch runs from the light. There, right here, there's no que mal de ojo, que la, el santo aquel y el santo. No. All them saints, all them witches, all them demons have to run from the light. They have to run from you. You are the treasure. God has deposited his spirit in you. They have no power. They have no authority. It don't matter how many hair locks they've cut off your hair. Hello, somebody. Because some of you guys still believe in all that. How many times they read your palm? No. Where there's light, there's no darkness. I'm going to say that again. Where there's light, there's no darkness. Jesus is the light. You got to change your mentality, church. The way we think. The traditions that we've been taught. Because grandpa, because grandma, because tia and tio, they thought, they believed. No. My Bible shows me that therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has begun. That means that God broke every curse. That means that God set me free from my past. That means that God makes the demons and the witches and all those spirits to flee. Why? Because I have the blood of Christ. Only God can work in the dark because he is the light of the world. God does some of his best work in darkness. I can attest to this. That there were times where I felt like, you know what? I'm alone. You know, I'm doing this by myself. You know, is this what it's come to? You know, come on, God. And then little by little, you know, God began to change my life. You know, it wasn't from the night to the morning. You know, I'm talking about 8 years of working. Some of you guys have been in the things of God longer than I have, right? I mean, I backslid, but then I slid back in. Amen. I backslid, but then I slid back in. So I've known the Lord for 30 years. In 1995 is when I got saved. But then I strayed because I put down my guard. I forgot that I was the light. So if I've only been at this, again, 8 years, and I'm already preaching and I'm pastoring, then some of you guys that have been in the, and you've never backslidden, that been in the Lord 15, 20 years, 30 years, you should be further than where you're at. Hello, somebody. I know I wasn't going to get any amens out of that one. You should be further than you're at. And you know this. That's why you feel conviction. That's why you feel guilty. And we don't come to church to throw condemnation. We don't come to make you feel guilty or to throw a guilt trip. We come to expose the darkness. We come to shine the light. To remind you that your calling is still valid. Your calling is still there. It's up to you to get up, to rise up and say, you know what? Even though it gets hard, I'm going to get to work. I'm going to get back. I'm going to go to the spiritual gym. And I'm going to begin to do the spiritual calisthenics. I'm going to begin to do the spiritual work that needs to be done so that I can build my spiritual muscles. Because let's face it, you're weak right now. Hello. You need that spiritual strength. And that only comes through prayer, through being in the Word, through fasting, through discipleship, through being in church around other believers. Stop worrying about your membership at Planet Fitness or 413 or AliExpress. Or I don't know what the other gyms are out here. You worry more about that than dedicating some time to the things of God. To getting in the Word, to spending time in prayer. Everybody's more worried about calories, counting calories, than counting how many Bible verses they know by memory. And you know what? The devil, he's having a joyful time because that spirit has even crept into the church. Hello, somebody. And you know what? I'm here to remind that devil that he has no place in the light, that he needs to go back to the darkness because we are children. We are treasures of God. There's no joy. People are mad. They're upset because I can't eat a steak because it's too many carbs. It's too many calories. It's not good protein. Ya me viera yo. Mercy, lying devil. There was weeks, days, months where I wouldn't even be able to eat. Now that I can eat, I'm going to eat everything I can because Jesus set me free. How many can say amen? Hey, and those same people that are living miserable lives, counting carbs and calories, you see them in their house. Or when they're by themselves, se dan vuelo. They go all in. You know what I'm saying? Why are you going to work so hard if you're going to cheat? Live it. Amen. And don't even start letting me get into it. No, ya mejor. I'm going to get out of there because I'm going to get in trouble. In the light, you will never have Excuse me. Check it out. This is deep right here. Pay attention. In the light, you will never have a harvest. I'm talking about seeds. Because seeds are designed to produce a harvest when placed and planted in darkness of dirt. Do you guys catch that? That, yeah, the light is good. But seed, in order for a seed to grow, it has to be planted. It has to be put in the soil. And when you plant it, that seed goes into the darkness. But with time, it sprouts up. It gives life. Seeds have to be planted because in the privacy of darkness, seeds begin to grow through a process called metamorphosis. That they could not go through just being in the light. So that's what makes you who you are. It's those dark moments. It's that divorce. It's that addiction. It's that infidelity. It is a sin that God took you out of. That darkness makes you who you are. That darkness is your testimony. That darkness, that dark place, that depression that you were in, that God took you out of, is the one that makes you who you are. So no te agüites. No te agüites porque tienes un pasado. Don't get sad because you have a past. If anything, remember who you are. Remember who you are now and use the tools that God has given us. Use our testimony. I'm telling you because this is real, church. A mí me daba agüite. I would be embarrassed to say, ¿sabes qué? I was a drug addict. Hello, somebody. I would be embarrassed. I was like, I feel shameful. And you know what? The devil was loving it. Because as long as I would stay quiet, as long as I wouldn't testify, as long as I wouldn't glorify the name of Jesus, he was okay with it. But the moment that I rose up, the moment that I realized who I was in the kingdom of God, everything changed. The attacks came. The illness came. The depression came. All kinds of things started to rise up. Why? Because I started to stand for the light. So if nothing's happening in your life, you know why now. Maybe you're not shining the light. You're not standing. And he's happy. Everything's perfect. The 401k. You're making good money. The boss is happy. Your supervisor's happy. Everybody's happy. You don't even get a flat tire because he wants to keep you comfortable because we're in your comfort zone. That's where he wants you. But you know what? Nobody said that this Christian life was going to be a bed of roses, that there was going to be comfort 24/7. You know, Jesus was our perfect example. As we learned last week, he died on the cross. He was crucified so that you and I can get out of darkness and walk in the light. I don't know about you, but I just want to stop. And I want to thank God that he allowed me to go through some dark places. He changed me in privacy before he exposed me to the light. God allowed me to go through some darkness. And now I stand here and I say, you know what? I am not embarrassed. I am not ashamed because I know who I am. I was born for such a time as this. God picked me out of the womb of my mother, and my life, it formed me, it shaped me, even though it wasn't perfect. But now I am walking in the perfect will of God. God said, I will give you treasures of darkness. I came to preach to someone who might be in a dark place right now. The Bible says, even though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Tell your neighbor, the joy of the Lord is here. The joy of the Lord is here. No more sadness. Ya se fue la sad girl y el shy guy. No more. None of that. Now we have the joy of the Lord. Llegó el happy. Amen. God changed our lives. Our sorrow, he turned it into joy. You know, that's why you see people that grieve. And they're believers. Their grieving is way different than the grieving of the world. You know, the people that don't have Jesus, they feel sad, depressed. And the people that have Christ, they feel joyful. Some of them even get upset, to be like hating, like, man, he beat me. She beat me. She ain't got no more pain. You know, she ain't crying no more. There's no discomfort. He or she is in a better place. In a joyful place. So it's different. Why? Because we know the word. We have the word in our lives. We know Jesus, he's in our lives. I need to hurry up. Mercy. Some of the things that you are going through aren't even about you. It's about your children. It's about your grandchildren. It's about breaking curses. Spiritual generational curses. It's about the treasures in your life. They're your treasures. They're your treasures. And it's up to you and I to help God to get those treasures out of darkness. We have an assignment. God has given us an assignment to make disciples, to bring people out of that life of sin. It is your job, my job, the church's job. It is not the job of just one person. It is not just the job of the pastor. It is the job of each one of us. Our personal assignment is to go after those treasures. Hello, somebody. It's your job, my job. It's about that child. It's about that job. It's about your blessing. It's about your legacy. Saul. Here we go. This is the meat of the message. Saul, better known as Paul. He knew religion, but he didn't know relationship with the living God of Israel. If you study the life of Paul, who was Saul before he was knocked off the horse on his way to Damascus, he had a reputation for pursuing Christians. He had authority. He had letters. He was able to do what he was doing. In other words, he had the green light to do it. And the religious people gave him the permission to do it. You could do that. And the devil was happy because they were persecuting those Christians. Back then they were known as the ones from the way, El Camino, which is now Christians. So he was persecuting the church. And God seen that. He said, man, and just like God sees some of you guys, he said, man, if I can get that guy, if I can get that girl with that boldness that he or she serves the devil with that mouth, I love somebody, with that fire, with that passion, if I can get him or her, I'm trying to point over here and not look over there because I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to throw it at you. I'm not. But if God's speaking to you, say amen. So Jesus says, you know what? He's a vessel that I can use. He is someone that instead of announcing darkness, if I transform him, he's going to announce the light. Somebody. And that's why, now you know why God chose you. He chose you because of who you are. Así como eras de loco y loca. Just like you were as crazy in the world, for the world. He wants you to be crazy for the kingdom. He wants you to be bold for the kingdom. He wants you to be as stubborn. Not with your husband or your wife. For the things of God. Like you were then. So God stopped them. Tell your neighbor, God stopped them. Just in time, God stopped them. God will always fight on your behalf. I'm here to tell you that you are never by yourself. God is always with you. Jesus shows you in Paul's life as a strong light of his life before Paul goes blind into darkness. God knocked him off his horse. And he had to go into darkness. Because God worked in his life for 3 days in the darkness. He moved. He did things in his life. So you see that sometimes God will separate you. God will take you out of certain circles. Out of certain situations. Out of certain job sites. Hello? And set you apart. Because when he sets you apart, over there being set aside, that's when he can go to work in your life. That's when he can give you revelation. That's when he can speak into your life and give you the vision that you need. Because even though you can see, it doesn't mean that you have vision. I'm going to say that again. Even though you can see with your physical eyes, it doesn't mean that you have the vision of God. You know, there was a blind lady. Her name is Helen Keller. When they asked her, Helen Keller, when asked, what would be worse than being born blind? Trip out on what she answered. She said, to have sight without vision. I'm going to say that again. What would be worse than being born blind? And she answered, to have sight without vision. And vision only comes from God. Paul had sight, but he had no vision. There's a difference between eyesight and insight. I'm going to say it again. There's a difference between eyesight and insight. Paul had eyesight, but he didn't have the insight. And God wants to give you insight today. You might have eyesight, but you need God's insight. What he wants you to do in life. What has he called you to do? Where does he want to send you? How does he want to use you? You need God's vision. And God is here today to give you a godly vision. You got to want it. If you don't want it, your neighbor, you're going to take it. You're going to say, I'll take it. You don't want it, I'll take it. She doesn't want it, I'll take it. Give it to me, Lord. I'm hungry. Hello, somebody. I want to be used by God. If she don't want it, I want it. If he doesn't want it, I'll take it. You don't want to preach, I'll preach. You don't want to play the instrument, I'll play. You don't want to be in the choir, I'll be in the choir. Hello, somebody. You don't want to clean the church? I'll clean it. You don't want to cut the grass? I'll cut it. I'll clean the windows. Why? Because that's what God uses to shape us. Those are the dark moments that I'm talking about. When you complain and you kick the ground and you say, man, again, practice. Again, discipleship. Again, prayer. Man, always it seems like always the same thing, the same people. Well, that's where God is molding you. He's depositing vision in you. Sometimes you have to go through something to get the insight. Eyesight shows me what's around me. Insight shows me what's inside of me. I'm going to say it again because you're not getting it. Eyesight shows me what's around me. Insight shows me what's inside of me, what comes out. Lo que sale de la boca del hombre. Don't worry about, ay, Señor. Don't worry about what they say. Worry about what you say. What comes out of your mouth. If you serve a loving God, love has to come out. If you serve a powerful God, power has to come out. If you serve a God that healed you, healing has to come out. That insight, what's inside of you is what comes out. Eyesight will show you what's around you, but the insight comes from God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is against me, than he that is in the world. Greater is he, Jesus Christ. Man, I got to land this plane. And I'm already halfway. Paul spent 3 days in darkness, stumbling. I'm going to say that again. Paul spent 3 days in darkness, stumbling on stuff. Sometimes the best things you come across in life will be in your dark moments when you're stumbling, when the whole world is shaking around you. God is preparing you for the insight. God is preparing you for the vision. God is taking you to your destiny. So next time you find yourself in a dark moment, that's when you should question, what is God getting me ready for? What is God preparing me for? Sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, and suddenly you stumble across a blessing. Has this ever happened to any of you guys? You're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you already gave up. And then all of a sudden, you stumble across Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright. Hello, somebody. No, you guys aren't understanding what I'm saying. Sometimes that's the way it works. You feel like this is never going to change. You don't know the future. It seems dark. It seems like it's never going to happen. I'm never going to get that job. And all of a sudden, that phone rings. Remember that application you put in a year and a half ago? You already forgot about it. And all of a sudden, you stumble across that blessing. I'm going to bring it home. That check you forgot about. All of a sudden, it comes in the mail. And you're like, man, I had wrote off that money already, but the blessing came in. Hello, somebody. God placed treasures in earthen vessels. But we have these treasures in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm going to read that again. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And with this, I'm going to end my message. But we have these treasures in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Let us stand to our feet. Treasures of darkness. I just want to remind you, Pastor Eddie will be back on Wednesday to repair all the damage that I caused, to heal all the hearts that I've broke. He'll be back Wednesday. Continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for him and his wife. And I just want to remind you, church, that God has called you. God has called each and every one of us. Even the you feel like the most insignificant person, you have a purpose in the kingdom, and you also have a purpose in this church. God brought you here for a reason. You're that treasure. And treasures aren't left anywhere. Things of value, you cherish them, right? Some of you guys even went and bought some big old safes. You spend like, I don't know, thousands of dollars to keep a $50 valuable rock. But that's your treasure, right? It's worth more than the $50,000 you spend on the safe. But because you value it, you know, you put it in that safe. And it's no different. God has placed you in this church because you're a treasure. You have value.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.